And what may I call you, if not father? You are a priest, are you not? A censer. As I said, a priest, she smiled. We call things by their real names here. Now drink this, father. It will revive your spirits. Carlyle crossed his arms in refusal. The nun frowned. And you, madame? She turned to Thisbe. Or is it mademoiselle? I see you are one of the subjects of His Grace the Duc de Thouars. Mademoiselle, Thisbe answered. And if you mean President Ganymede, I'm a humanist, yes. I should have guessed Thisbe would adapt quickly to this new world and its vocabulary. I'm Thisbe Sanir. Nice to meet you, Sister Eloise. Eloise bobbed a curtsy, which made the shadows of her tight breasts bounce beneath her habit. It tried its best, the nun's habit, to leave her shapeless, stripping hips and curves from the figure with its clumsy folds, but all it truly did was dare one to search for them, to wonder how pert the buttocks must be to make the fabric hang so, or to mark the shapes of thighs and calves through the sackcloth. Pleased to meet you. Marie-Thérèse said you came to see Master Jehovah. Yes, Thisbe answered, glaring at Carlyle to keep him silent, since the name made him jolt on every repetition, like a fresh electric shock. I'm afraid Master Jehovah is elsewhere at the moment, and occupied with high affairs, but I can request that he come and see you as soon as he is free. That may not be necessary, Thisbe answered. I'm running a pro forma background check on Tribune Mason, to clear them for access to the Sanir Weeksbooth Bash House for their investigation. I'm supposed to interview close associates, routine questions. Oh, why, then I shall answer anything you like. Are you too close? Very. Thisbe had to ask it. Do you work here? I live here, the little sister answered, and I do my work here, caring for the sick, mending, taking care of Master Jehovah's errands, and, of course, I pray for everyone. Carlyle's fists clenched. Carlyle, Thisbe warned, relax, just relax. She sighed. I must apologize for my censer, sister. I asked them to help with my investigation only quite recently, and they were up imprudently late last night. May I? She reached to take the brandy from Eloise's fingers. Eloise surrendered the glass gladly. It's quite all right. It's only natural for a priest to be overwhelmed by such a spiritual place. They often wind up in my hospital room at some point on first visits, though hopefully your friend is not so fragile. Thisbe shoved the glass at Carlyle. Drink it. You need it. A spiritual place? Carlyle repeated. A brothel? It's more than that, the nun corrected, beaming pride. This is a refuge from the barbarities of the modern day. Our members come here to escape for a few hours, to a more courteous and enlightened age, and return to the outside world refreshed by a taste of civilized society. Carlyle twitched. And sex? She pursed her lips in disapproval. You may never have endured it, reader, but the disapproval of a nun is extremely powerful. Do you have some problem with sex? Carlyle. I do when you claim to be a nun. Eloise. Then you too advocate clerical celibacy? Her voice grew bright, as if she had just discovered they shared the same hometown. Carlyle. I do not advocate clerical celibacy, but I don't advocate mocking it either. Thisbe. Carlyle! Thisbe's anger threatened to bring her boot down sharp upon his toe. I think what my censer is trying to ask, sister, is, if you don't mind a mildly indelicate question, Eloise, I have scrubbed bile from the floors of sick rooms. What are words to that? Thisbe. Well, are you a prostitute who's dressed as a nun, or are you actually pursuing a celibate lifestyle while living in a house of prostitution? You can understand my confusion. I mean, don't nuns prefer to live with other nuns? Eloise, you're thinking of the Tibetan and Vatican reservations. Those nuns are not my order. and the business of prostitution is limited to certain sections of this house. Thisbe, I see. But even if only in parts, isn't that a bit incongruous? Eloise, I see no incongruity in it. Thisbe, no incongruity in a nun being around so much erotic activity? Eloise, on the contrary, what could be more appropriate? Celibacy is the most extreme of sexual perversions, after all. That one floored even Thisbe. What? Eloise, sexual desire is the purest and most natural of animal drives. To suppress it in favor of an intellectual and theological satisfaction is a perversion of nature in the most extreme sense. Why, even to fornicate alone, or with many people at once, or with a machine, or an ass, or hound, is closer to nature's intent than abstinence. Do you not agree? A long pause. Very long. Carlyle. Diderot. Thisbe. What? Carlyle. You're quoting Diderot. That bit about celibacy is the most unnatural thing. Eloise. Quite correct, Father. Mademoiselle Senir, has your sensei not told you of Le Philosophe? Denis Diderot was a great philosopher, the leader of the Encyclopedia Project. I wish now, reader, that I had myself introduced you to Le Philosophe in some lighter hour. Grant me, if you will, a moment for his noble side, before you associate him forever with this house. Once upon a time, there was a bright young atheist named Denis Diderot. In his 18th century, atheism was just blooming, and keen libertine minds hungered for a firebrand to stir and lead them. He could have made himself the pope of atheists, but he refused. For Diderot, while denying any afterlife, dreamed of worldly immortality not for himself, but for the dead, the dreams and achievements of ages past, and for his world. His philosopher's stone would be a book. The second half contained technical plates illustrating all the technologies humanity had achieved, weaving silk stockings, annealing metal, baking bricks. So with a single copy, even the lowest peasant could reconstruct all the tools of civilization. The first half was the same for thought. Thus, if a new dark age should fall upon the earth, but a single copy of this book survived, every achievement of the human race from bronze to liberty could be restored. Diderot named this talisman of immortality Encyclopédie, and fearing that his personal beliefs might bring the wrath of the authorities upon the project, he voluntarily suppressed his own work, publishing nothing of the revolutionary atheism which like-minded doubters of his age so hungered for. The public who named Voltaire Le Patriarche dubbed Diderot Le Philosophe, the philosopher, guardian, and caretaker of all thinkers and all thought. The grand title of arch-heretic, which he deserved, he left to others, to Machiavelli, Hobbes, misunderstood Spinoza, or De Sade. Can you imagine a nobler act, reader? Sacrificing his own chance to add his voice to humanity's great conversation, to safeguard the conversation itself? And he went to jail for writing porn about nuns. Carlyle snapped it with a cutting glare. Eloise sat unfazed. True, indeed. Rich, beautiful, philosophical pornography about nuns. I have read it several times. Eloise turned her sincerest smile on the censeur. Fear not, Father. I do not mock those whose robe I imitate. Though sex of all sorts occurs here, I am not involved. There is music here, too. Art, scholarship, and discourse. And if there are also earthly pleasures, then they are pursued only in harmonious consort with the others, and in sections of the house which I do not frequent. Carlyle gave up on goading her here, sensibly, for it is madness trying to anger Eloise. Anger, Like envy, impatience, greed, and lust all melt from her like frost from flame, and she takes modest pride in crushing such little demons underfoot. One thing, though, he would not give up on. I told you not to call me father. I'm sorry. Would you prefer doctor? Neither. I'm a sensei, not a priest. Her brows, where the wimple did not cover them, seemed sad. Have you not dedicated your life to your god? Thisbe forced the brandy into Carlyle's hands. Drink. You need it. Both women watched, expectant, but Carlyle just stared at his reflection in the amber spirit, as if trying to take refuge in the only thing in the room which was not mad. Dominic Seneschal spends time here too, don't they? He asked. Do they work here? Sister Eloise's face grew light and frantic at the same time, like a mother desperate for rumors of a runaway. Do you have word from Brother Dominic? We've been so worried. Brother Dominic? Thisbe forced a smile. I'm sorry, Sister Eloise. We don't know anything about where Dominic Seneschal is or where they've been the last few days. We've been seeking them too. I see, Eloise answered, unable to stifle a sigh. You know Dominic well? We grew up here together. You both work for Jed Jehovah? Here you may call him the Prince Darwe, if his true name makes you uncomfortable. Either way, you and Dominic work for them? Work for Master Jehovah? Oh no, we worship him as a god. Even Thisbe could only feign so much calm. What? Dominic's path is his own. As for myself, I have consecrated my virginity to Master Jehovah and dedicate my honors to the contemplation of his divine mysteries and the exercise of good works in his holy name. It is a vocation which fills and overflows my every thought and deed, waking and sleeping. And since Master Jehovah himself has accepted my devotion, I count myself the most fortunate of women, though not in the least deserving of such fortune. I was in my early days a very wicked child, she continued, proud, self-involved, and filled with the most perfidious jealousies. I grew up in this house, not among the common children, but one of the elect, raised in the strictest discipline with the care of many wise and generous tutors, whose efforts on my behalf I never appreciated as they deserved. They offered for my education music, geometry, mathematics, natural philosophy, the historians, poets, orators, Latin, Greek, French, all the authors whose works are proper for the eyes of a sensitive young lady. Yet I began to spurn all in favor of the flattery of men. Puffed up by vacant words, I vainly thought myself the most beautiful of my peers, a double vanity, both because I judged myself superior and because I placed value on appearance, as if true beauty lay in face and flesh. Wretch that I was, I cared nothing for the logic of the philosopher, the morals of the orator, or the light of the theologian. She means here Aristotle, Cicero, and St. Thomas Aquinas. When I had suitors to taunt and rivals to defeat. Here you object, impatient reader. Mycroft, thou hast lapsed too much into thy 18th century. This life story poured out all in one ramble might fit in the fabricated dialogues of thy patriarch or thy philosophe, but not in a history. No sane person disgorges her autobiography before perfect strangers, and no listener, even one as stunned as Carlyle and Thisbe, would sit through this in silence. You do not believe, reader? Then come, I challenge you. Come to her offices. Ask good Sister Eloise to tell you of her vocation, and see if you have the strength of will to interrupt a nun. She continues. In the course of things, I was betrothed to a good and worthy man, and endeavored to direct the entirety of my affection toward my intended. Yet, as I felt youth begin to flower in me, I found my passions directed as uncontrollably as water gushing from a spring, not to my fiancée,